prepare to receive away team.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, On the Road.
All right, we're here for our fourth little podcast here live at Con Carolinas 2017, right. Or 2017 Con Carolinas, I'm not quite sure.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, but I'm here with Starnes Lord and Tiffles Tenenbaum, and we have a live studio audience.
Woo! It's more than just two people clapping. We're so happy.
That was not just us clapping and pretending. It's real people. So so we take a picture just to prove it. But
we have Sherman as our laugh track. We're good hands. Yeah.
Oh, and we also have Carol the
There's
Cat.
There's Carol
the Cat. Wow. So, and we are here with Guild the Morn. So for those of us... for those who have not been able to see you perform this weekend here at Con Carolinas, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and your style of music, etc.
Okay, we are very specifically fairy tale themed gothic rock. So all of our lyrics are inspired by fairy tales, folklore, mythology, and fantasy literature over many centuries. That's it. Oh.
Speaking of rude.
It's just pixie dust, guys.
Oh, I mean, pixie dust. That's
we're fine.
That's
fine.
It opened the portal. I was like, I'm going to interview
you. Your mere world's open world. So
he's now
cool.
Controlling the fame. They call when they call.
How'd you get started with it? I'm just kind of curious.
So Gopal is a veteran musician in the goth scene. He co-founded Bella Morte back in the early mid-90s, and he also has had several projects since then. He's been in Undergrave, Ideal, Brighter Fires, which he also co-founded with the same person from Bella Morte, Andy Dean. And Gopal and I started dating, and we started experimenting with electronic music together, and... I mean, we're gothic rock musicians. We love gothic rock. We love fantasy. Those are like one of the two most important things in our lives. And we said, hey, let's put them together and see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's really the essence of it, you know? And then once we started getting a theme in our music going, we realized, you know, let's do something with this. Let's have a theme, like a meaning behind it. And the band's tagline is, you know, in the darkest of times, find light within. And that is a take on several different quotes from a variety of different fantasy books. You know, you have Dumbledore, who mentions the light, and you also have in The Lord of the Rings, you know, we also talk about the light in there. And, you know, it's just a recurring theme throughout fantasy, and that's something we wanted to give, is we wanted to give these people, especially in the goth scene, these kids, these, you know, older adults, we wanted to give them hope in their dark times. And that's really what we try to promote, is a positive community and environment, and just giving love to people, you know, really.
Yeah,
and creating a space to transport people out of this world for a little while, if only for a little while, to create an atmosphere that lifts people out of their worries, lifts people out of their fears, lifts people out of their sorrows, whatever it happens to be, and takes them to another place. And
I love that combination, because when I was growing up, it's like you either had the literature and then you had the music, but then I never found that combination. Mm. So I think this is really good, because it's like I always was like, oh, well, I wish there was something like this, and it didn't exist. And then with comic, I'm a huge comic book guy, and I was like, yeah, I love the superhero stuff, absolutely. But then I was like, I wish I could read like a fairy tale. And then Bill Willenham came along with Fables, and it was just, oh my gosh, this is what I've been. I didn't know this was possible. This is amazing. So
it's been a really great journey. You know, we definitely have, you know, some influencers that have come before us. You know, we have Susie and the Banshees and the Cure and Sisters of Mercy. But then we also have a little bit later bands like Faith and the Muse, who, you know, is a big inspiration for us. And then we have current bands like Fawn and, you know, a lot of these neo-medieval, you know, bands. And the really amazing one, The Moon Lay Hidden Beneath.
Moon Lay Hidden.
They're really an
very
awesome
unusual
band.
Like maybe an acquired taste for most people, but if you're into this kind of thing, just such an incredible atmosphere. They just create this you can tell people who are passionate about what they do by their art, you know, and these people just immerse themselves in it, and they create this like medieval soundscape that's just like haunting and melodic, and well, not always melodic, sometimes really sometimes really discordant, seriously discordant, but really cool still, really neat.
Yeah, and you know, like bands like Dead Can Dance as well, and it's really fun. We have fans that write us and said, I just spent 3 hours designing my D&D character listening to your album, and she's like, yes! Oh, we have arrived!
So speaking of which, how long have you been performing together as Guild the Morn, and then what are some of your albums?
Yeah, so we started writing for Guild the Morn in 2012. We had our first release in 2014. We were actually, our first ever credit on an album was a compilation of tracks done by Ichabod Anderson, who runs the one of the people that runs the State of the Goth Scene panel at Dragon Con. And
part
so,
of the horror track.
The horror track. And he threw us on there, and we're like, oh, we looked at each other, and we're like, well, maybe we should actually do this since everyone's taking the CD and they're asking where they can find our stuff and we have nothing up. So 2014 is when we started getting going and, you know, really started building out the band.
And we started very much as a studio project as well. Like, you know, we had, in the beginning, we didn't have plans on playing live. It was just something fun for us to do in our living room.
It was our personal love, you know. Yeah, it was a combination of our love for these external things, music and literature, also our relationship and how that grew, and you know, it was this tangled, very personal project. But people fell in love with it, and it really started impacting people's lives, and you know, it started changing it, and we realized that, you know, how important that was to get that out there to them.
It's awesome to be able to write music that you love. It's so very amazing when other people enjoy it too, and to be able to share that and to be able to, and I
definitely think there's a sense of investment that you can detect when somebody's there because they love it.
Yeah.
Versus I was hired by a corporate
music
boss to play the background track on this gig.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that comes through. I do not claim to be a musician, but as somebody who has played music and sang and stuff, I know my brother is, one of my brothers is married to a woman who actually, you know, graduated from college with a degree in music and all that kind of stuff. And then at Christmas time, he would ask me to play Christmas carols in his house on her piano while she was in the other room. And I'm like, she's right there. Like, why are you doing this? And he's like, I don't know, you play differently. He's like, but you only play the songs you'll play. And I'm like, because I only play the songs I love. I'm not going to play the songs you want me to play. I want to play the songs that, you know. But he says, it's different. It's different. And I was like, well, you know, she actually, you know, she does it kind of as a living on the side, but I don't think it's necessarily, it's not her getting to play what she wants to play. And so the sound is different. And I think you can detect that when somebody's really passionate about it. And I think other people who love music
from like a musical lineage perspective, you know, people often ask what your influences are or what my influences are. And folk and tribal are the two things that have influenced me the most out of everything. You know, we like when I was in Bellamorte, we had a much harder sound, but all of my composition work in Bellamorte came from this folk and tribal perspective, where again, you know, keep it raw, keep it, pouring from the heart. Pouring from the heart.
Yeah, there's a passion there, and there's a passion, you know, from the, you know, the influences you have. A lot of these, you know, the neo-medieval and Scandinavian and, you know, tribal.
East Indian.
East Indian. You have all these, you know, bands, and that's what you see. You see live war drums. You see, you know, people playing their heart out on bagpipes or doing this incredible vocal melody that is so unusual and you've never heard before. It's just like this raw, primal human expression of humanity. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. And, you know, we really identify with that.
I think you guys would appreciate last night, while you were performing, we were next door doing an American Gods panel, and nobody complained because it's like, this is the best soundtrack for this panel.
So
we were just talking American Gods, and we're just kind of, this is awesome. This is like the best soundtrack.
Yeah,
I was a bit worried about sound, and then we sat down and started talking. I'm like, no, this works.
That's so cool.
So out of context, I don't know. We just did a panel with creativity out of context. So we know what your influences on the music you perform. What's the guilty pleasure songs or guilty pleasure musicians that don't match up with that people might be surprised to find on your iPod?
I honestly have like no shame when it comes to my music.
Yeah.
People, you know, at my job, I'm very much the person that will be dancing and like running around the store constantly. In the past 2 weeks, I've listened to Bon Jovi and Cher and, you know, 80s hair metal and yeah, just everything. I mean, we listen to, you know, rap, hip hop. We literally listen to everything. I love old country.
Her grandfather was one of the founders of the Bakersfield Sound.
Oh,
so her great grandfather,
which is like old Western swing type music, and I love old country, you know, Hank Williams style stuff. So I wouldn't necessarily call them guilty pleasures because I own my ridiculousness.
Kung Fury.
Okay, so we were getting
David
ready.
Hasselhoff.
we were getting ready for. I'll tell you a quick story here. We were getting ready for the con, and you know it can be, you know, high intensity. You're trying to remember everything.
Yes.
And Gopal is getting a bit caught up in that, and I was like, "Would you like me to play a song for you?" And he said, "No." I mean, we've been married, you know, for a while, and I knew, you know, he knew something ridiculous coming. I said, "Okay," and then I put on True Survivor because how can you not? Like, how can you not rock out? And then, you know, I had a little dance going, and I was singing it. I was getting into it. That song will pick anyone up. Yeah, love that.
Or sing them
into
Suicidal Misery. I don't know where you're. It's a good song.
Do you have a guilty pleasure?
Many.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge reggae fan, especially 80s era Shanky Records reggae.
See, that's still cool though.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I'm talking like
I don't know.
Singing along to Mandy Barry Manilow on Friday. I was just at that point.
See,
so.
And that's cool too. It's
like, he likes his bands. Called Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh yes, that's a good one. That's an acquired taste. We'll call them acquired taste.
So
T-Rex. Most folks know that. Yeah, Get Along, Bang a Gong, and so before T-Rex, Mark Bolan was partnered with a guy named Steve Peregrine Took. Yes, the guy was awesome. This was in the late '60s. Like the guy's name was Steve Peregrine Took. Like hooray! And they had the band Tyrannosaurus Rex. And they had an album called Unicorn and an album called Beard of Stars, and that is some bizarre shit. And I'm sorry.
No. How fucking dare you?
It's some wonderfully weird music, experimental, like straight up. They like got their first 8-track tape deck, and it was these two like stoner guys on LSD, like writing about fantasy, you know, and like it was awesome, like telling stories and like doing all this like weird chirping like birds and like
so
bizarre
the Cheech and Chong
great.
Type of
no, they were dead serious.
They were serious.
They were dead
it.
Serious.
That's
they
the
were
truth.
Like, this is awesome. Like, this is amazing.
I'm
like, you guys are
Cheech
so right.
To my one of my guilty pleasures. So I will go around singing Earache My Eye like that. Don't try to tell me how to live.
Another one, and you may, I don't know if this qualifies as cool or what it is. One of the first cassettes that I ever owned, I found in this we called it the boutique. It was like a free trade place where you could just dump some stuff and people would drop things off and pick some stuff up. And it was just like this like open space in our town. And I picked up this tape, and it was an unmarked tape, and I put it in my tape deck. I was like, this is incredible. What is this? And like, I listened to it a ton, like just a whole bunch. And eventually somebody said, you know, that's Jethro Tull. You're listening to Jethro Tull.
Yeah.
And that album
I was
is
totally
Heavy
waiting
Horses.
For Johnny Osmond
it was the album Heavy Horses from Jethro Tull. I was like, this is all right, cool, now I know what it is. The tape got destroyed. And I was like, oh, that's such a bummer. So eventually, a couple of years later, I got a CD player. And I was like, this is amazing. I have a CD player. I'm going to go buy Jethro Tull Heavy Horses because I want to hear this again. I put it in. I was like, this is the happiest shit I've ever heard. What the hell? Like, what is going on? Like, what is happening here? And the tape had been warped and stretched. And because it had been sitting in heat, and it had slowed down, way down. And I was like, I've been listening to this thing, and I became an audio engineer. And one day, this is years later, 6 years later, I became an audio engineer. I was like,
oh my God.
I can finally.
I can take this and I can slow it down. I slowed it down. And it is the coolest thing ever. If you can get it, it's not quite like taking the, you know, 45 and then playing at 33. Yeah, yeah. It's a bit faster than that, but you take it and you slow it down just a little bit, and that album becomes dark and beautiful. And I was like this, it, so that's I don't know if that's a guilty pleasure.
Flute, like really menacing.
No, everything because it pulls it out of A440 and it like pulls it down to this like minor like detuned like realm, and this
voice
slows
down. You need to share that, man.
I was thinking like, this is a guilty pleasure. Have you heard the Alvin and the Chipmunks at 33 and a third? So this guy, so good. So this guy took all the so Alvin and the Chipmunks, they sped everything up. That's how they got the high voices, right? So they took everything and they slowed, they played the music at normal speed and the voices at high speed. So they slowed it down so the voices are normal and all the music is sludge metal. It's just like, gong, gong, chom, cha, 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 cha. And it's like, they're singing over the top of it. It's really cool. So I'm a fan of like all kinds of weird, anything. Right. Anytime you take like something really normal sounding and you like manipulate it and warp it and make it really strange.
One of his early influences, he used to, his parents had one of these tapes, I believe it was from NASA that they bought, and it was sounds from space back when they were selling the cassette tapes.
So good.
Yeah. And that was one of his early influences.
Definitely.
As well.
And then I should enjoy that.
I had the Life Serial like whale. Remember that?
Yeah, so
like
cool.
It would be on the box.
You peel it off.
And we would listen. And I think too, it sat in the sun stuff happened to it. And once we went to CDs, like I think our records were like yard sale records and whatever. Yeah. And it's like, you know, The Night Chicago Died, Billy Don't Be a Hero were totally different than what you heard them on like regular radio. It just wasn't the same. Of course, you're crap out of stuff. So all right, last guilty pleasure question, and then I know you guys have to go to your next panel, but
actually they're free.
You're more than welcome to talk to me.
I was like programming director.
Programming director.
All right, programming director. Yeah.
What can you do with Vanilla Ice? What can you
do? I actually have a really good answer for it. You can take it and throw it in the trash.
What are you talking about? That riff is legendary.
He ripped off Queen.
I will sing Ice Ice Baby.
Don't get me wrong. I will totally sit there and like dance out to it. But
there you go.
It was like Lady Gaga, right? It's a formulated, like you take all these influences, which is music anyways, but it was a bit more blatant than other artists that I've
Phil Collins like made a career out of it. He took Groovy Kind of Love, which is a Beatles like thing, and stretched. I mean, if you wanted to have a Phil Collins hits in the 80s, you just had to find a song and stretch it out. So I used to sit in my car and go, what song could I stretch out? So first musical concert.
Eco Mouse. For me, that was so Eco Mouse. I don't remember what tour it was, but I was in love with the album Waterdam, and that was the first concert I got to go to. So that was very cool. Now I was trying to go to Midnight Oil. It took me 32 years to make it to that show. Midnight Oil were my favorite band of all time. For my 40th birthday, Angel got me tickets to their New York show. Got the last pair of tickets to the New York show, and got to go see them live. And
did you have like obstructed view, or were you?
No, we were like less than five rows back.
So they were like released tickets. Venue. Yeah, that's awesome.
It was amazing. It was epic. That was just freaking epic. But yeah, you can.
My first concert. I'm trying to think here. It's kind of hard to say. You know, I grew up in San Francisco. I grew up in the Mission before it was reformed whatever, gentrified, for lack of a better word. And we used to have these amazing block parties every weekend where mariachis would come out and play awesome music, and there would be fireworks, and I mean, it was just like a block party. But my first like actual physical concert, and maybe this is my guilty pleasure, is actually, I was a huge fan of early rockabilly tying into the old country, and Elvis was like my first like musical love, like early Elvis, early rockabilly. And so I guess my first concert would have been seeing an Elvis impersonator in Vegas for one of my birthdays as a kid. Yeah, and I was just like, this is amazing. amazing. I'm going to buy all the things, and then I want to talk to him, but I don't really want to talk. You know how it is with, you know, kids. So,
that's awesome.
Seeing Elvis, or somewhat a form of Elvis. Yeah.
Kapala's looking at you very suspiciously all of a sudden.
No. I'm just smiling. Just in love. That's all. Just in love.
So tell us where we can find you on the social webs and where we might be see you performing next.
Yeah, so Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, most of the main channels we're available. You can get our music at Bandcamp, guildthemourn.bandcamp.com. Guild, G-I-L-D, the, T-H-E-M-O-U-R-N. When we came up with this name, we did not think it through. There are so many ways to spell our name incorrectly.
No, but I appreciate the fact that you default to it. Yeah. So many times we have to spell it for them because it's like you added an E to the end and a few words and
It's Snuffleupagus supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.com.
But yeah, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp, where you can just Google Guild the Mourn. We'll pop up.
Excuse me.
Performing next? Next. We're actually performing at Congregate, so we'll be back in North Carolina. With, I believe, Valentine Wolf is on the bill as well.
Yes.
So we'll be there in July. I believe we're also playing a few shows with some, that can't be talked about yet, but we'll be playing some regional shows in Virginia and surrounding area.
Stay tuned to our Facebook page and our website.
I'll go online, sign up to our mailing list, guildthemourn.com. You can sign up and keep posting everything that we're doing.
You can also sign up on the website.
Awesome. See you at Congregate because you'll be there.
Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you guys so much. To see a concert because being programming director, I was I was actually on a panel last night.
That's really why we go to other cons. It's not about promoting the gala. It's all about going to actually see all the stuff we don't get to see at Con Carolinas or Geek Gala.
Thank you all.
I'm hoping you had fun. I'm really hoping
it was. It was incredible. You know, we got to play with some really good friends of ours and. The people that attended seemed to really love it, so it was awesome. This is our first
time. The
staff
was incredibly helpful, very friendly.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Everybody seemed to be on point. Sweet. It was really nice. So
we had a really, really good time.
Yay.
Thank you, guys.
Come back whenever you want.
Thank you. Whenever you'll have us, we are here.
All right, come back. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.